Welcome to EcoTalk, your home for sound solutions for a healthier planet and people. So our first segment will be addressing the nexus between environment and religion, and there's been a lot of interesting trends emerging there. Happy to welcome Jim Wallace, as I mentioned earlier in the show, editor-in-chief of Sojourners Magazine and author of God's Politics. Thanks for being with us. I know you're a busy man.
Great to be on the show.
You're out there spreading the green gospel?
The best I can, yeah.
We want to start with the initiative that was announced February 8th, a little over a month ago, by a group of more than 85 influential evangelical leaders. And that statement expressed a biblically driven commitment to curb global warming and called on our government to enact national legislation to reduce carbon dioxide emissions that, of course, are contributing to global climate change.
Right.
It seems for a long time faith communities have been pretty quiet about environmental issues up until the last year or two. This is exciting and encouraging, you know, developments that we're seeing on many fronts in various religious sectors. But why the previous silence earlier, and why the outspoken voices that are really coming to the fore now?
Well, this is a very interesting political story, actually, because mainline Protestant churches have been outspoken on the environment for a decade at least. Presbyterians, Lutherans, Methodists, and so on. They've been saying some good things for a long time, but it hasn't got any attention, because the religious right has got all the attention in the media for their very narrow range of issues. But for about 10 years, some of the most exciting new environmental initiatives have been coming from younger evangelicals. I mean, a new generation of evangelical Christians on college campuses and other places. So we've been covering those in Sojourners, but again, they weren't getting any wider media attention until about 2 years ago, when Rich Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals and others in that broader mainstream evangelical group began to have really a conversion, they called it a conversion, an epiphany, if you will, on the environment, that global warming was a religious issue, they said. And the day that there was an article in the Times that came out about this 2 years ago, and the global warming sort of politics changed in this town overnight, because the global warming constituency is not part of the Bush base, and so they were being ignored. And all of a sudden, here's the NAE, National Association of Evangelicals, saying global warming is a religious issue. And the White House actually called them that day to ask, what about our policies don't you like? So then 2 years later now, this initiative is about to be launched, and the religious right rears its ugly head, and the usual suspects, Dobson, Colson, Richard Land, 22 of them write a letter telling the National Association of Evangelicals not to sign this thing. We're part of the NAE. We disagree. We're divided. We're for economic growth. And we're worried about the poor. First time James Dobson ever showed any worry about the poor, uh-huh, that I can recall. So in the past,
the poor who are going to be first impacted by climate change and severe weather already have.
That would have really tamped this down. It would have vetoed this. It would have crushed it. A couple of years ago, but this time, there was a pushback. And so, as you just said, 89 evangelical Christian leaders came out with this very powerful statement for a full-page ad in the New York Times, saying, in fact, that the environment is a Christian concern, a deeply evangelical issue. So the religious right has lost control of the issue of the environment. They tried to say this is not one of our issues. In fact, their letter said, let's stick to our core issues, abortion and gay marriage. This shouldn't be one of our concerns.
Of course.
And they lost. They lost that battle, and now the environment is a central evangelical Christian concern. That's a very big deal.
Of course, if we don't have a habitable planet, abortion and gay and other issues will not even be debated.
That's true.
So let's back up a little bit. You identify yourself, I understand, with 19th century evangelical Christians. And first of all, many of us, especially we Jews who don't know as much, I'll speak for myself, about Christianity as I should, tend to confuse evangelism and fundamentalism. What are the distinctions?
You know, I launched God's Politics in the UK a month ago. And a lot of Brits, no matter what their faith background, were amazed to hear an American Christian voice who didn't think God was an American or only a Republican who only cared about abortion and gay marriage. Fundamentalism has really usurped what it means to be evangelical in America. In the 19th century, evangelicals were reformers. The evangelists were also abolitionists. They fought to abolish slavery. The revivalists were also reformers. People looked to them, and they looked to them as social progressives. In fact, Charles Finney, who was the Billy Graham of his day, he was the evangelist. He invented the altar call that Billy Graham has made famous, and the reason why he invented it was to sign up his converts for the anti-slavery campaign. It had an organizing reform agenda. And so today, when I'm on these Christian college campuses, which I am almost every week, what's clear now is the new altar call is around poverty, the environment, Darfur, sex trafficking, HIV/AIDS. It's a whole different set of issues than simply the reduction to abortion and gay marriage that is really the agenda of the religious right. And so really there's a battle now going on among evangelicals. And I think it's sort of, it's 19th century evangelicals for the 21st century. There's a whole new generation now. Many of them work here in this office who care much more about the environment and poverty than they do about anti-gay marriage amendments.
Hallelujah.
That's a great sign.
How broad is the representation in this historic climate change initiative? How many or what percentage of evangelicals does it represent?
Well, you know, I signed, Tony Campolo signed, and that was nice. But, you know, that's less important than there are 39 presidents of Christian colleges who signed this. I was speaking at Gordon College, one of those places, just 2 weeks ago, and the president there was one of those who signed this thing. And he went out on a limb, if you will, to challenge the religious right. And he said, I'm tired of those old white guys telling us what to do. Now, he's a young white guy, but he was saying, I'm part of a new generation here, and we're going to take leadership on issues of social conscience. And so if you look at all the, you know, World Vision and Rick Warren, Purpose-Driven Life, successful author, was associated in the recent past with, you know, being in the camp of those who cared only about abortion, gay marriage. Now he talks about poverty all the time. He signed this environmental statement. So a number of very significant evangelical leaders who represent lots and lots of people, educators, pastors, academics, you know, evangelists, signed this thing. And clearly the environment, and what they often refer to this as creation care. And so this whole creation care, you know, the environment is thought to be, in their language, God's creation. So what they're saying is, what we're saying is that care for God's creation is a moral values issue too.
And do you think that they will be out there spreading the green gospel, these 85 leaders? Will they take it beyond this signing of this initiative?
Yeah, I think they will. And in fact, they already are. It's been very interesting at some of the, you know, global warming gatherings or conferences or seminars in the last few years to have people like Rich Cizik there. He never misses one of these. He's the guy from the National Association of Evangelicals.
We want to get him on the show as well.
Oh, you should. He's very articulate about this, and he sounds like the prophet Amos when he starts talking about the earth and the poor and how this is God's concern. So there's a real sea change here going on. And the idea, I think when the far right invented the moral values voter issue, I think that's a mistake, because they've not been able to restrict those issues to just their simple two. It's now spreading to the environment, to poverty, HIV, and all the rest.
Great, Jim. We're going to be with you right after the break. Stay with us. We're speaking with Jim Wallace. He is talking about the Evangelical Climate Change Initiative. In America, you're listening to EcoTalk. For more on today's guests and topics, please go to our website at www.ecotalk.net. Stay with us.